We have a very special night planned. We're going to have a little bit of Voices of the Class. So we're going to have some very short, how long, guys? 3 minutes. Okay, so after 3 minutes, just pick up your paper and just start. No, just kidding. Wouldn't have you be that rude. There'll be somebody. Courtney will be that rude. She'll be given this time. But we have some students that we want to hear their hearts of share how Chi Alpha has impacted their lives, and we just want to rejoice and celebrate what God has done over the past 4 years. So first up is actually a duo. I don't see the duo. Where are they? Oh, they are over here. So will you give a great big warm welcome to Victoria and Priya?
Going to talk about that. Don't say it yet. Well, my name is Priya.
And I'm Victoria. We're otherwise known as Pretoria, two peas in a pod. You may have seen us. And we were going to share together because we've actually been friends since high school, going on 8 years. And what we wanted to share is something we learned from our friendship together.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, waiting to start again? Well, sometimes I feel like a reusable bag, but... In all honesty, Katy Perry's latest number one single touches on an insecurity that we all have, self-worth. The world gives us so many barometers by which we can measure our worth, like success, status, and the quantity of our social circles. Being at UVA makes this particularly difficult, given the wide-ranging talents of our fellow students. For example, we debated sending our speech to Justin Kim to edit. And I'm now intimidated to eat Thai food with Matt Miller, the king of spice. Facebook often serves as the center of our social lives and often promotes superficial friendships. I've unfortunately thought about how many people have liked my photo and status before, and I think we can all admit that popularity and reputation can easily become an idol in our lives, even beyond virtual networks.
And one thing I think is we can find ourselves consumed by befriending as many people as possible, desperate to attain some kind of worth based on how much we love and how much we feel loved by others. And it's hard to admit that and that it's a struggle in a Christian community like Chi Alpha because the relationships run so deeply automatically. And I'm so thankful that I can look out and see so many people I know that I could go to in a time of need. But I also know that Satan can try and break down these relationships and use them to create jealousy and really cause us to focus on the opinions of man and focus our attention on what other people think. And I think that Paul really voices this debate well in Galatians 1:10, where he asks, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people?" And this has been a verse that has really resonated with me since my first year, and I've had to revisit it a lot just to remind myself of the truth that God created us and purchased us at a higher price than we could ever imagine, giving us more worth than any human relationship ever could.
And this isn't to say that friendships aren't important. This is exactly why Victoria and I are up here together with matching shoes. We've been able to share our lives and live transparently with each other, not just on Facebook. What we have found has been so refreshing because even though we've known each other for close to 8 years, it wasn't until Jesus became the center of our relationship that we could call each other best friends. There was a fateful day second year when Pete gave a great talk about armor bearers and thus began our deeper friendship. We discovered that no matter how much baggage we shared with each other, it didn't alter the level or amount of love in our friendship. Because it was a friendship rooted in Christ, we discovered the human's capacity to love. Not to say this didn't take work. You learn each other's love languages, even if it means taking multiple personality tests, having a number of DTRs, or learning to embrace your inner sanguine or phlegmatic.
And a part of this is also discovering the need for other friends and helping to foster those relationships. Because we believe that God puts people in our lives and sometimes in different seasons to meet our needs and love us in different ways. And this brings us back to how we find our worth. We've been fortunate enough to have each other in our lives, but it's most important that our friendship has pointed us toward God because only He can really cover all of our needs. God knew I needed a friend like Priya so many times, but it wasn't His intent for me to find my worth in her or that relationship, or in my relationship with my housemates or my core group. ultimately no relationship is as satisfying as one with the Lord. And it's that relationship we have with him that teaches us slowly really how to love one another. And that's what we encourage you to pursue above all things.
So let us now leave you how we began with the infinitely profound words of Katy Perry. There's a spark in you. You just got to ignite the light and let it shine. Just own the night like the 4th of July, because, baby, you're a firework. Remember who to look to for your worth. And that, my friends, is the gospel according to Katy Perry.
You got there.
Hi guys, my name is Erin Dale, and I'm going to be graduating with majors in engineering, science, and biology in a few weeks. And as an engineer, I'm required to write a thesis. In addition to writing a technical thesis, all engineers take a two-semester course called STS, looking at society's interaction with technology. Now, my STS course has been fascinating. I've loved it. We've looked at ethical dilemmas, the impact of a country's culture on a variety of different technology. And one day we spent the whole day talking about traffic lights. traffic lights are a technology that pervades our life, and we encounter it almost daily. But there's plenty of technology that we use on a routine basis. The interesting thing about traffic lights is that it's one of the few technologies that we never question. We rely on them 100% and never doubt their intent to keep us safe. We will sit through miserable traffic, yelling at the light when it only lets two cars through. But we stop. We don't ponder whether the mechanism is faulty or it's a bad electrical signal. We stop. And when we see a green light, we resolutely trust in this technology that has ensured red in all other directions, and so we go. And through my 4 years here at UVA, I have discovered and matured to aim my relationship with God to mirror the relationship with traffic lights, with 100% trust. I've learned the importance of depending on God even when it delays my plans. I've had those green lights, and those are the weekends I wish would never turn into Mondays, the conversations I promise I will never forget. It's seeing the fruit of God's vessels in my core group, in my friends, even strangers that inadvertently bring my focus back to God. But I also think about those green lights that I missed by just that much, and I have to come to a screeching halt at a red light. My first year, that was discovering that I wasn't the brightest anymore, that I could study and still do mediocre. It was realizing the defeat that arises when I compare myself to the standards and talents of others, and finally realizing I'm not defined by my grades. In my recent years, that looks like rejections from job interview after job interview, distancing friendships, the frustrations of not seeing any progress from my labors. And then there are those yellow lights, which are sometimes the most confusing. Do I speed up? Do I slow down? In my life, those have been the times when God isn't obviously closing an opportunity or opening one, but when he's given me a choice. Do I stick with microbiology, where I can easily succeed and my career makes sense? Or do I quit my job and follow the unsure path of ecology and conservation, where I have little guidance, but no matter how tedious or difficult the class, my heart and mind delight in the knowledge? Do I change my lifestyle and say goodbye to what I thought were solid friendships, not knowing where their judgment will leave me? Do I live in a house where I know so few, but at the same time could hold such possibilities? I have learned what it means to trust God. He loves me and each one of you more than we can fathom. I think about how much I love my family, my friends, how difficult it's going to be to leave here. But that doesn't even remotely compare. And because of that, I have seen the green lights and the blessings and how they have helped me to battle through and as I wait at the red lights. And I've seen how those red lights have protected me from temptations and taught me patience. It's funny how the more traffic lights we encounter, the more aware we are of how they work together. It is a system technology. So some of you know I drive a Prius, and you also know that I like competition. Now, a Prius is anything but a speedy car, so I take great pride in beating any car off the line, especially a souped-up one. Because on the line, it is more than just gunning it. It's simple anticipation of being aware of the other lights around you and how they are changing. And this community, this fellowship full of laughter and authenticity, has helped me to beat the world off the line. I can see the lights and God not only right in front of me in my life, but I see God working through each one of you. and I can never fully express how influential verses at the end of emails, honest vulnerability, friendly conversations, and seeing your hearts for so much of what God loves has been to my faith. I've been saying I trust God, and in that trust, there is a secure hope. Stoplights are there for our safety, and they are not meant to preclude us from our destination. God wants us to move forward. He wants us to reach our destination. And honestly, he knows the best way. Time and time again, I have seen how trust affirms and blesses. And time again, it is throughout Scripture, in Isaiah, in Psalms, in Proverbs. And it says in Jeremiah 17, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." So thank you for the blessing you guys have been in my life, whether as housemates, co-leaders, mentors, friends, core group members, fellow classmates. I walk away from UVA still unsure of where I am heading, but I walk away knowing that I am dependent on God with an identity solely in Christ, and that is something I would have never dreamed of saying when I walked in. So thank you.
Justin Kim, biochem major. Next year, this shell of a pre-med will be demoted to the status of first year here in Charlottesville. It's okay. In reflecting upon what Chi Alpha has meant to me during the first half of my tenure here at UVA, I have to say thanks to a few people. Gabe Fuentes, thanks for being the most persistent and annoying first year roommate imaginable. Without this unrelenting love you showed me, I don't think I would have joined Chi Alpha in the first place. John Millspaugh was not here. Thanks for paying attention to me first year, even though you had no real reason to do so. From all the rides to Trinity to Soul Food in the Pav, you were and still are to me the embodiment of Christ's intentional love. Josh Moran, thanks for making me laugh. And thanks for letting me live with you on Shamrock Road the summer after my first year. This was the most important summer of my life, during which I learned that Christian community is a gift from God and that people are really greater than chemistry. Fairchild, thanks for inviting me to join the Chi Alpha leadership team and for having faith in me even when I felt the most insecure. Thanks also for faithfully discipling me through thick and thin for the past 3 years. Matt Miller, thanks for being a prayer warrior and for teaching me by example that those who know how to overcome with God in prayer have heaven and earth at their disposal. Go to prayer. Ryan Levis, who am I that I should have been so lucky? Among many other things, thank you for teaching me what it means to have an absolute fascination for the Word of God and an insatiable desire to know it by heart. Pete Bulette, thanks for putting yourself out there every week. From growing up in a pastor's home, I know the immense anxiety and insecurity that can plague a preacher. But I also know that when you speak on Monday nights, the gospel comes to this place not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. And I'm not the only one sitting in these chairs who has literally felt the Word of God come to life every week through your teaching and preaching. On a related note, I guess I should thank Amy Bulette also. Thanks not only for what you do for Chi Alpha, but also for what you do for Pete. I know that without your unconditional love and support, Pete wouldn't be half the man he is. I have a single word of advice that I want to share with this body, and that is this. Remember, as you go into your summers and throughout the rest of your lives, remember that you carry the aroma of Christ. Do not be ashamed of this, for this is the fragrance that brought you back to life, and this is the fragrance that will bring life to those around you. And this, my friends, is so attractive. Too often I forget that not too long ago, I had around my neck an alabaster jar whose contents reeked of all my pride, lust, self-sufficiency, judgmentalism, and profound insecurity. But then Christ called me to the foot of the cross where I broke this jar at his feet so that he, not I, could bear the stench of my sin. In return, he dressed me in his aroma of life and peace and said, go. I saw a TV commercial. On channel 777, that so vividly illustrated this point. It was almost biblical. In this commercial, the Lord Jesus got up from the dinner table, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Why are you guys laughing? After that, he poured water into a basin and produced a bottle of Old Spice, saying, hello, my bride. Look at the world. Now back to me. Now back at the world, now back to me. Sadly, the world isn't me, but if you turn to me, you'll be filled with the fragrance of the knowledge of me. Look down, back up, where are you? You're on a boat, and I'm walking on water. What's that in your hand? Back at me, I have it. It's an oyster with the pearl of greatest price. Now look again, I am the pearl. Anything is possible when you smell like the true Old Spice. I'm on a donkey. Remember that you carry the aroma of Christ in your classes, in the lab, in Alderman Stacks, on the soccer field, in the dining halls. Do not be ashamed of this, since this fragrance of life is so attractive. In closing, I want to direct your attention to the future by inviting you into the past, to my first year core group. This was our last study on Wednesday, April 16, 2008, 8 p.m., in the living room of 100 Dunova Court. Seating around were the legendary duo John Millspaugh and Clay Abel, as well as some other random dudes. Ryan Levis, George Chancey, Garrett Van Gilts, Ben Duran, Gabe Fuentes, Brian Vanderpool, and yours truly. Indeed, I can say without bias that this was the greatest first-year core group Chi Alpha has ever had. I remember Ryan sharing his heart at this meeting through Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in us would carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm not sure what was going through Ryan's head. He might have been a little preoccupied by the fact that this was the first time he ever led a core group. Even if this wasn't the case, I don't think he would have guessed that six of these seven guys would be here tonight, May 2nd, 2011, all walking with the Lord, all immersed in Christian community, and all core group leaders. My friends, if that isn't the gracious hand of God, I don't know what is. It is my hope, my prayer, and my expectation that you all will also look to the future of your fellowship with even greater faith, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I leave you with these words and my love. Thanks a lot.
Hey guys, I'm Anna. I am a nursing major, and I wanted to come before you tonight and basically share with you how God has moved in my life through Chi Alpha, through you guys, and just really affirm you through this. And I apologize in advance if I start to tear up, because when I was practicing this in my room tonight or earlier today and going through the past 4 years in my mind, I started to get teary-eyed then, so I'm going to try to hold it together, at least until we worship again some more, but we'll see. So through Chi Alpha, God has taught me many things. He's taught me how to read the Word. He's taught me the importance of prayer. He's taught me how to pray. He's taught me that it's never fashionable to be fashionably late. He's taught me why it's important to confess and to bring light into all of your dark situations, how to disciple and how to be discipled. He's taught me the importance of tissues at the first couple core groups and at the last, especially, at least I know it's true for the girls. He's taught me the importance of laughter in everyday life. He's taught me how to serve through you men. He's taught me what it looks like to be a man of God and what to look for in a godly husband, which is something that I didn't know growing up. I think I knew two guys my age who were godly men in high school, and that was about it. Ladies, through you, he's taught me what it looks like to be a Proverbs 31 woman, and that has been very convicting at times, but also very fruitful. He's also taught me the importance of disciplining myself now so that I learn now to make time for quiet time, to make time for church, to make time for small group, so that when I graduate, as Pete always says, whatever you do now, whatever your habits are now, will be your habits when you graduate. And he has also taught me the immense power of a cup and a cookie as a first year, which I realize some of you probably don't know because we're so big now that they don't make cookies, but we used to get cookies. And all of this is amazing, and I praise God that he has done all this in me and through me and through you guys. But I also, there are two things that he has especially taught me through you guys, and that is how to love and how to be loved. Growing up, I had a typical middle school experience, and I think most of you probably had. If you didn't, you're extremely blessed, but middle school was awful. I had a ton of friends, I would have said. If you had asked me if I had truly good friends, I would have said yes, because I didn't know any better. And looking back, they really were not great people. And so coming to high school, thinking that that is how life was going to be, I just hardened my heart. And I thought, you know, let's just gear up for the rest of life and put a fortress around this heart so that I don't get hurt again. And I just accepted it. And by the time college rolled around, it was just really hard for me to trust people. But then I came to Chi Alpha, and then I came to First Year Core Group. And although I didn't understand why everyone was showing me so much love, and I fought them many times, especially my poor First Year Core Group leaders, but eventually y'all broke me down. And you tore down that fortress that was around my heart and really showed me what love looks like. And honestly, I've never been the same. I remember my second year hearing the infamous Clay Abel, who's already been mentioned, sharing his testimony and mentioning the verse from Genesis 2:18 that says, "The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And that was when he had just put Adam in the garden and realized that it wasn't good for him not to have fellowship. And so realizing through you guys that living in community is the only way to live. And that's what has gotten me through 4 years of nursing school. That is what has gotten me through the red lights that Aaron mentioned, and I know that those memories is what's going to keep me hungry after fellowship for the rest of my life. And I thank you so much for everything that y'all have done. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, we have one more student who's going to speak that I'm going to introduce because he is our outgoing president. And so we have been very well served by our president, who has, honestly, this has been a difficult year to be president in Chi Alpha. There have been a lot of things behind the scenes that he has done to make Chi Alpha what it is and help accomplish what we needed to get done. And so we give a great big welcome to your outgoing president, Chris Johnson.
Right. As I tried to consider what I could possibly say tonight to sum up 4 years with such a great group of people, the question I ended up asking myself was not, what can I share, but rather what can I share? The lessons that I've learned in my 4 years in Chi Alpha have been so numerous in both the quantity and the quality that it seems an injustice to leave anything out. But for time's sake, I've narrowed it down. More people have influenced my life than I have time to thank. People present, people here. My 4 years, I love you guys. You guys, man, you guys are the reason I'm here and who I am. People who have gone before, you all have heard mention of previous core group leaders. People you all have probably never known. Hopefully you get to meet Friday night at the Mega Monday Night Live. But people have poured into us and made us the people we are who can help pour into you all. But to try to do justice to what God has done in my life, I've narrowed it down to 3 key points. For 3 years, I've walked around as a person marked by Jesus. You know, in the Old Testament, when God gives the Israelites his laws, he tells them, it's recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Well, without always realizing it, I've been bound to Jesus by Chi Alpha. I've been bound over the last 4 years. I've been marked. I've been marked by these things. We decided that fellowship tattoos weren't a valid option, so I went with keychains. The first lesson I've learned comes from Joshua 1:9. God's talking to Joshua and he tells him, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Those of you who've known me long enough since I was a first year, I was a timid, timid little boy. Most people, you can ask the 4th years, most people actually didn't know that our core group existed until the start of 2nd year. They had to kind of go back and put us in. I've been a person who sought after safety, after comfort, after ease. These are the catchwords that I lived by for so long. But God's changed me. God took a middle-class kid from the suburbs of Nova who'd always lived in the same town, and he gave him the opportunity to spend 2 summers abroad sharing the gospel. He took a shy and fearful little boy and taught him what true manliness is. He took a reluctant, reticent, and timid follower and gave him the opportunity to lead a fellowship. And every step of the way, he said to me, be strong and courageous. Second lesson I've learned comes from the book of John. And Jesus is just beginning his public ministry. And one day he walks by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist points out to his disciples. He says, you know, this is the Messiah. And John's disciples ask him, they asked Jesus, you know, where can we find you? What they're basically saying is, where can we go to know more? Where can we go to ask questions, to find out who you are, to find out more about you? Jesus' answer to them, come and see. One of the greatest privileges I've had this year is I've gotten to be a member of one of the International Guys core groups. Earlier this spring, we were talking about the resurrection. And we'd been looking through John's gospel. We'd looked at the passage. We'd asked some questions. We talked about it a little bit. And as our conversation was kind of winding down, one of the guys boldly asked a question that at first sounded really flippant to me. He goes, so do you Christians really believe this happened? And my answer was, really believe? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, of course we, and it made me ask myself, do I really live that way? Do I believe like, do I live like I believe in a risen Savior? And that's just one example, but all year long, these guys, you guys have taught me what it means to come and see. You know, Jesus doesn't just want to give me an answer. He's given me experiences. And so I've learned that that's not just a statement. That's a promise. If you come, you will see. Final lesson that I've learned, final lesson that I'm just going to touch on tonight, is how we're designed with a purpose. At the beginning of this year, we learned that each and every one of us is made in God's image and that we're made for His glory. We have purpose. We're not accidents. And for the majority of my life, I was so fearful of being inadequate, of not making a difference. And I'll share, on the surface, things look pretty calm, but underneath me, it's just an ocean of uncertainty. But over the last 4 years, through this staff, through these people, through you all, God's shown me that He has a purpose for me, and that purpose is bigger than a job. It's not job specific. It's not relationship specific. It isn't geographically specific. The purpose God has for me is that I was made in His image, and I was made to bring Him glory. And that I can do anywhere I go. I can do that at any time. That's why I can walk out of UVA into an office building, into a conference room, and say, I am a missionary. This is my mission field. I know that wherever I am and whatever I'm doing, I'm designed with a purpose. And so maybe you're one of those places. I've been at all of them. Maybe you're at all of them. This isn't a sermon or a message. This is my life. And I want to encourage you. I want to say God wants to do in you the things and greater things than He's done in me. So maybe you're here. You're seeking God. Maybe it seems like you've been seeking for a lifetime, or maybe it's just been a semester. But I want to just repeat Jesus' words. Come and you'll see. Or maybe you have a personal relationship with Jesus and that's beginning to bear fruit, and you're getting opportunities to go on spring break trips. You're getting opportunities to lead Bible studies in your hometown, at the university, whatever that might be, and that's daunting and that's scary. But just like Jesus told me, be strong and courageous. Or maybe it seems like you've lost vision for life. Maybe you know that feeling of feeling like you're just living from test to test, or vacation to vacation. But we're made for more than that. We're made with a purpose. I'm made with a purpose. If God can speak that to me, man, He can speak it to anybody. God's purpose is glory. And He wants that glory to be known by you. He wants that glory to be known through you. And He wants that glory to be known by me. And He wants that glory to be known through me. So what have I learned in my 4 years here at Chi Alpha? I've learned God changes people. Because God changed me. Will you all pray with me? Father God, I just thank You so much that You are in the business of changing lives. Father, I thank You for the things that You're doing in this fellowship and at this university. God, I thank You for the students and for the staff. God, and I thank You for what You've done in me. God, I just humbly give You glory for what You've done in me, done the people around me. God, and as I go, I pray that this would not just be a celebration tonight of this class, God, who I know You love and who I love, but an affirmation to those staying behind. Our season here has come and gone, but God, that You're the God of this city, and You're the King of these people. And You want to do so much more here in Charlottesville and at the university. So God, we lift You up. We give You glory. Father, and we give You thanks. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. In recognition of all the change that's happened, I want to invite the staff up here on stage real quick. And if Emily can come up. Yeah, give the staff a round of applause, guys. This staff, man, this staff pours out for us day and literally well into the night. And, you know, so often we are so thankful for what they do, but we don't get to express it. And so we as a fourth year class have just gotten them some small tokens of appreciation. And I'm going to let Emily share a little bit about that.
Yeah, we just wanted to give you gifts that we thought that you would use and you would love and that hopefully would remind you of the love that we have for you guys. But I just want to share a verse that I think caps up how we feel about you guys and how you've served us these last 4 years. It's from Colossians 1. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have seen of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel and at UVA is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. So, yeah, you can open your gifts. We know what you like. Josh Fairchild got a Dunkin' Donuts gift card because apparently that's his favorite. And he goes there often. He frequents the place. Okay, all the families got family portrait sessions with area photographers with a certain number of prints that are different for each one. But and Courtney's over huffing her coffee. Yeah, we just wanted to give you stuff to remember UVA specifically. And so thank you guys for serving us, and let's give them another round of applause.
Amy.
The bakers aren't here, but we got Annalisa little onesie. It says, half a loves me. 11.
They sell those at JCPenney's. I don't know if it's... You know, it's... Well, I had a message preached, but I don't think I'm going to preach it. What? Fourth years feel ripped. I'll give you a truncated version. It's last time. No corny jokes, though. I don't have time. Won't be the same, will it? Come out to Mega Monday Night Live, and I'm going to speak there. By the way, I was thinking, you'll have kids by the next time we have next Mega Monday Night Live, probably. So just putting that out there. You guys here definitely will. No, anyways, all right. We've been going through Acts. We're going to close in Acts. Acts 27, you have your Bible, get it out. I'm going to read a passage, I'm going to set the stage, I'm going to make a point, and we're going to celebrate with a little bit of worship going out, but I do want to be cognizant of the time, and so for those of you who are freaking out, saying it is, you know, such time, I am going to be very cognizant of that, but I do want to leave with a final exhortation. Chapter 27, Paul is on his way to Rome. Paul has been, he's appealed to Caesar, and he must go before Caesar. He's on his way to Rome. He's sailing, and they are running a little bit late. So as Paul is on the ship, they have to pull into a place called Fair Haven, which is not well named because it's apparently not a very fair haven. They say, we cannot stay here for the winter. This is a bad place to winter, okay? So
The people are like, we need to press on. Paul says that's a very, very bad idea. In fact, if you press on, it is going to be dire for all of us. Well, the captain of the ship says, what does this prisoner preacher man know? We're going. There's a gentle east wind that comes, and they said, this is what we're looking for. They hop in the boat, they take off, and soon the east wind turns into what's called a nor'easter. Hurricane force winds, the Bible says. And things are getting dire, okay? And so what happens is they start running ropes underneath their boat so the boat doesn't just shatter to pieces. After days where that isn't working, they take their cargo and they throw it over. Any excess cargo, they throw it overboard. Finally, they're so desperate, they take the tools. What does it say they take? What do they take? The tackle. That's what I'm talking about. You tell them I'm a fisherman. I'm a seaman. Yeah. They take the tackle. They throw that overboard. And it says this at the end of verse 20. It says, neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging. We finally gave up all hope of being saved. They felt like it's over. Well, then we come to our passage for tonight. I'm going to read just a few verses. Listen carefully. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice. I'm sure they all wanted to hear that. Not to sail from Crete. Then you would have been spared yourselves. You would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, and listen to this, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, Paul, do not be afraid. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all those who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. As I read that passage, there are a couple things that come to my mind. I'm going to quickly state them. Number one is the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. In the midst of uncertainties, where they think their lives are going to blow apart, we find out that God comes and speaks a word of certainty in the midst of uncertainty. In the midst of a hopeless situation where they said, it's hopeless, God comes and gives a word of hope. Now, this is what I love about this passage, is God says, no storm is going to stand in the way of my will being fulfilled in your life, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. I have a plan for you, Paul, and you must stand before Caesar, and no storm is going to stop that. I love that. Because God's saying, I am the sovereign one. No storm is going to derail my plans and my purposes for your life. Let me put it a different way. No circumstances are going to derail the plans and purposes I have for you. No future employer, no graduate school admissions committee, nothing will stand in the way of what I have planned for you. Just follow me, Paul. No stiff-necked sailor who made a bad decision that you told him not to do it. You just follow me. You're in my hands. I love that, because here's the thing. It may feel like, for those of you who are going home over the summer, that a lot is up in the air. It may feel like, for those of you who are graduating, you won't be back here in September, that a lot is up in the air. But let me tell you, not as much is up in the air as you may think, because God is sovereign. It may feel like your life is full of uncertainty, but can I tell you, there's a lot more certain about your future than you may know. It may feel like that things are out of control, but can I tell you that there's a whole lot more in control than you even know? Because God is sovereign. And no storm will stand in the way. Then there's this phrase, whose I am and whom I serve. See, Paul knew who he was. He knew that he was the sovereign God's. He knew that this God who's sovereign over all holds his destiny in his hands, holds him in his hands. He knew that this God who's sovereign over all loved him and called him his child. He knew that this God that was sovereign over all was his, and that he was his. He was loved, that he was accepted because of Jesus, and that he had an inheritance as a child of God. Remember whose you are. You are the sovereign God's. As you go home this summer, remember whose you are. And if you remember whose you are, then you'll remember who you serve, because wherever your identity is, and trust me, there's plenty of things that will buy for you and vie for your identity, which Priya and Victoria laid out so beautifully. But if you remember whose you are and where your identity is, then I can tell you who you'll serve. You'll serve Jesus if you remember you're his. And see, Chi Alpha stands for what? Christ Ambassadors. Means this, you're his. Wherever you go, you're his. And wherever you end up, he's put you there to be an ambassador for him. Whether you're going home for the summer, he puts you there to be an ambassador for him. Whether you're going to an internship, whether you're going to the marketplace, whether you're going to the mission field, you're there because you're his. And it is him that you serve. I love this, that the whole ship was blessed because Paul was there, because an ambassador was on board. They were all saved because one ambassador. I'm going to give them all to you, God says. Can I tell you, wherever you go, because there's an ambassador there, they will be blessed. They'll be blessed to have an opportunity to know Jesus. They'll be blessed because God's people are around. And understand that wherever you go needs an agent of redemption right there. And they will be blessed to have you. Right, Romella? Working for your firm in New York City? Right, when you go to the classroom, Amy? When the patients are taken care of by honest hands, the hands and feet of God. So let me just close with this. First years, second years, third years. Remember whose you are and remember who you serve. We had 50 some odd fourth years graduate or going to be graduating. We need you to realize whose you are and whom you serve. We need more hands and feet to the plow to reach this university. And graduates, in the midst of a lot of uncertainty, in the midst of feeling like everything's up in the air, and in the midst of feeling like things are kind of out of control, let me tell you, there's not as much up in the air as you may think. That there's a whole lot more certainty than you know. And there's a whole lot more control than you're aware of. You serve the sovereign God. That is whose you are. And that is who you serve. Let's stand. Have the worship team come forward. Thank you for honoring us with the gifts, with the family portraits. What a great blessing. That's a great idea. Thank you. Can I just say that It's my joy to be able to lead this thing, and I'm so humbled by it. I don't want to say lead, to pastor. To be a pastor. I love being a pastor. And what a joy. Can we close in prayer, and then we're going to worship our way out, and whenever you're done, feel free to go. Kyle, the t-shirts are for sale back there. Be a billboard, a walking billboard. Go home, be a billboard. By the way, if you know first years who are going to be coming in, boy, this is what I hope. I hope that when my son is going to be a first year, well, I hope my son is a first year. I hope he gets in because he's got DNA stacked against him. But if my son happens to be a first year, here's what I hope. I hope that there's some eager second, third, and fourth years who know he's coming and immediately love bomb him right into the fellowship. To where he knows that he is wanted. That's what I hope. And so if you know any first year coming in, love bomb them all summer. Bring them to Summer Chi Alpha, wherever you're at, and just make it seamless and let them know that they are loved and that there's a family for them, right? And so let me just pray us out, and then we're going to worship a little bit, and you guys can go whenever you'd like. And all right, let's pray. Father, my heart is so full. So grateful that as we just center around the person of Jesus, what you do among us, the lives that you change. So grateful that you're sovereign in the midst of the storm, that your plans and purposes shall prevail. Many are the purposes of a man's heart, but plans of a man's heart, but your purposes shall prevail. We thank you for that. We thank you for the gift of each other. We thank you that we're all united by the Holy Spirit because of the work of Jesus on our behalf. We love you, and we seek to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.